From the heart of Europe to the world, this is RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Potbread, on what can only be described as chilly around parts of your anatomy. My name's Eric Wiltshire. We are Postcard from Potbread. That's because we're based in Potbread with other people all around Europe, at the bottom of the Tatry Mountains in east of Slovakia. Hi to Talk Radio, X Replay Radio, RTI and the lovely people on Audio Boo, as we now cross over to the tepid area of Europe, the United Kingdom, and one Mr. Lee Banks.
Tepid, my thing. I tell you what, it's so cold, man. Absolutely freezing. And I tell you the other thing. And hello, ladies and gentlemen. I am so sorry. I just want to say very quickly, this is a true story about how the weather affects the sense of humour of women in Britain. Right? Last night, right?
Whoa. Are you telling me, since I left England, that women have actually got a sense of humour now?
No, absolutely not. I am not telling you that at all. I'm saying, all right, then you're quite right. How it's affected the lack of sense of humour in women. Right, she went, right, her and her friends went to Weight Watchers last night, right? Okay. And it was snowing, and you know that, and you know when you get that awful rain in the snow, and it's just so awful. Anyway, they hadn't got a car. I dropped them off. So she phoned me up and said, look, we're soaking. Can you come and get us? So I drove down, and true enough, they were standing there outside Weight Watchers. They were dripping wet and shivering. So I said, in good humour, quite wittily, as I thought, I said, so what did you learn about today then, girls? Saturated fat? Not a response.
Nothing. I love it.
I'm not exactly surprised.
No. And in Gay Paris, where the poo is on the pavement frozen, it is Mark Gander.
Yeah, hello there. And I must say, it's beautifully sunny here. And it's very, very cold. It's -5. But by all accounts, that's nothing compared to how cold it is in Manchester and even colder in Poprad. So maybe this is the tepid zit on the face of Europe. I don't know.
We'll come to that in a moment. First off, as always, the sad news comes in. Camilla Williams has died at the age of 92 years young.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's good really going, sad.
It is good going, actually.
Yeah. Well, he is sad, isn't he? To be expected at that age, but it's something that should be marked. She was the first black opera singer in America. In 1946, she became first black opera singer. And she had a good life. She did a lot of things to push forward civil rights in America and everything. And I just think we should mark the fact that she's now shuffled off this mortal coil.
Indeed.
And thank you, Camilla, for everything that you did for us.
Indeed.
And another sad one, isn't that?
Yeah, Angelo Dundee, at last somebody I know.
Stings like a madam butterfly.
I struggle some weeks, dear listener. It's not because I'm being rude or even trying to throw comedy into it. I genuinely don't know some of these film people that Mark and Lee dribble on about.
Because he's a Philistine. He's an ex telecoms engineer, ladies and gentlemen. What else do you expect of him? I am a linesman for the county.
Oh, stop that, for goodness sake.
Anyway, go on, tell us about Angelo Dundee.
Yes.
Amazing. Yeah, the trainer of the legendary Muhammad Ali.
And Sugar Ray Leonard. He's died at the age of 90. And again, he's one of those blokes who actually did something really good for the world. I know people don't agree particularly all the time with boxing and things like that. But in his time, it was a sport, wasn't it? More than just a debacle of death and despond and beating people up. This was when it was an art.
You missed out one important factor, dollars. What?
And he did very well out of it as well. You can't deny that at all.
He did. But I'll tell you, what was really, really nice was that at the time that Muhammad Ali, I think, was still known as Cassius Clay before he converted to Islam. And he refused to fight in Vietnam. And he was backed up by Angelo Dundee all the way. He supported him all the way and stick won him, and I thought it was really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was a very powerful political time, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was indeed.
It was,
And D'Angelo Dundee, once again, the same as Camilla above, has done something, did something worthwhile for this world. And that's what everybody should remember. You yep. should not die without having done something for this world.
Indeed. So, I'm not being rude again.
Either this world or in the next.
Or the next. I can't wait to hear Lee do the next story because this is about poetry and he's just called me a Philistine. Therefore, I can say none of this whatsoever. Lee, over to you.
When I said you were a Philistine, I meant you were a German horse. But anyway, so you'll have to work that one out. That's the one that'll catch you in the car going home. You go, ha 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 ha, know what he meant now.
Right.
Okay, maybe not.
No.
Anyway, this is a sad one as well, because, again, this was a woman who did something for the world, did something good for the world, and that's the Polish poet Wisława Szymborska.
Szymborska.
There was a young woman called Szymborska who tragically died of lung cancer.
I apologise to everybody in Poland who listens to this programme. I know there's a lot of you that do, who happen to be my friends on Facebook. This is nothing to do with me. Yeah. Send your letters and emails to lee@rti.fm.
I only got the pronunciation wrong. He's the one who did the cheap jibe.
Oh, okay. Well, she got a Nobel Prize for literature, and I'm honouring her with my own piece of literature using her name. What yes. greater honour you can have for that. But she was powerful. She was a super figure in the history of Polish literature. She won a Nobel Prize in 1996.
Can I ask you something?
Yes.
Are you just reading my scripts, or did you really know her?
No, I knew her.
Oh, really?
I knew of her. I didn't know.
See, Eric. So we're not just talking about people who don't know.
Oh, you wrote that on a script, did you? Oh, hang on. I just noticed that.
I've got a little poem that she wrote here. And this is true. And I'm not. This is not taking
He's not going to take half an hour, is it?
Who,
he says four lines. If you shut him up, I'll be able to do it. Right? And there's one. I'm going to ask, and I'm asking you all. Yeah. Right, so explain the first line, because I'm not sure if this is a bad translation or this is the truth. It's called The Three Honest
Poets. Lee, you're not going to do a Google translation.
No, it's not a Google translation.
Oh, if ever there was a bad translation, just go to Google.
Don't you think it's wonderful that the fact that, when you know, we should celebrate life and death, and we celebrate life and death by laughing at people who've just died.
No, but I don't. You see, this is the whole point. And this is what I like about Slovakia.
I agree with you.
They don't do the dirge.
They are respectful.
There are tears and all the rest of it that goes along. Yeah, but they actually talk about the positives.
Yes.
And I think people would want that rather than the other way around.
I think that's exactly what Real Gone Kids is about, that beginning. You celebrate people, you talk about people who've done something good in this world, and also you can have a laugh as well. And here's one of Miss Komponski's poems.
Right.
And this is a Nobel literature-winning poet, and I think this is good, but I don't understand the first line. I hold my hands up. I might be a Philistine too, Eric. Right, it's called The Three Oddest Words. And it says, when I pronounce the word future, the first syllable already belongs to the past. When I pronounce the word silence, I destroy it. When I pronounce the word nothing, I make something no being can hold.
Very good.
What was the first line?
Do it again, it's obvious.
When I pronounce the word future, the first syllable already belongs to the past. That means foot.
No, because it's already transferred into the middle of the future, which is going. The rest of it will be in the future in a split second after it.
Oh, I understand now.
It's a lovely, absolutely amazing sentiment.
It's really good.
It's brilliant.
I'm so sorry. I am sorry. I am the Philistine for the week, ladies and gentlemen. I hold my hand. Yeah. I misunderstood it.
I think Miss Szymborska will turn in her grave.
No, I think so. You could be right. But I'm using a DJ cliche link here. But because you have to remember that Uncle Mark is a Kindle man.
I am Kindle man.
He's a Kindle man.
You should be on a bar.
No, I am Kindle man.
Yeah, he is Kindle man. And so that's why he knows lots about people who write stuff, Lee.
Does he?
Yes.
All right, then.
Thank you
very much. Who writes stuff, Lee?
They write stuffily.
They write very well.
What's the first thing that comes into your head, Art, when you say Tennessee Williams?
Tennessee Williams. Well, he was 1000 Williams.
See, Eric, you're talking rubbish. He knows nothing. What is wrong with the glass menagerie or cat on a hot tin?
Anyway, Lee's about to go off into the outer parts of, Serbia or somewhere to be frozen to death for a split second while I do the rest of my link, which was I know Mark's a Kindle man and he's been going on and on about how great it is over the weeks. So yes. I thought I should share with Mark that I now have a Kindle thingy.
Oh, have you?
But it's inside another thingy.
In your phone?
No.
On your computer?
I've actually got an Easy Transformer.
Oh, right. I never heard of that.
Have you not?
No.
It's wonderful. It is a tablet.
Yes.
And then you take it
three times a day.
Then you drop it down into its little slot and it becomes a netbook as well.
Really?
Yeah, so it's a convertible tablet and netbook, and it's got Kindle in it when you first get it.
All right.
Oh, fascinating. I have Kindling on my fire at the moment, trying to keep me warm. I had a Kindle. I did.
You were thinking about you had a cuddle once.
No, I had a Kindle. Once I read it, I gave it to a charity shop with the rest of my books.
Yes.
Oh, dear. Anyway,
that's an old joke. I know we used it three weeks
let's,
ago.
Let's move on, boys and girls. It is quite sad, the news about the cold snap all over Europe. And if you haven't seen it from your side of the pond in America, it is somewhat cold here, it has to be said. The temperatures have been dropping. There's been over 100 deaths in the Ukraine itself. Yeah. A couple in Slovakia, all from hypothermia, which I'm sad to report. Yeah. And the English headlines in the press are, it's going to be cold here at minus 16. How stupid can you get? Last night in Poprad, we recorded temperatures of minus 33. As I went to the car at 7:30 this morning, it was minus 27. It then took me 20 minutes to thaw the car out on the inside, because both the inside and the outside were frozen up. The other interesting thing when you compare the UK with Slovakia is the buses were working, the trains were working, the planes were taking off on time, and the roads were clear. Just a minute.
I'm going to say, although I'm not in UK at the moment, there have been none of these kind of things on the news. And in fact, this year so far, I think everything's been clear. Of course, there's been no snow, and that's helped. It's just incredibly cold. But I haven't been hearing anything about transport being seized up in the United
Kingdom. Yoo-hoo!
Yes.
I'm in the UK. Yes. I know. we haven't actually suffered a great deal at the moment. That's quite right. But
they're already stopping trains, and they've issued a Met weather warning level 3.
Well, that's what's going to happen in the next over this weekend. I think it's going to become absolute hell here. It really is bad, though. It is bad. We recorded temperatures here last night of, I know they're not Popradian temperatures, but we recorded temperatures of at least minus 12 down to minus 16. That's chilly for England.
It is chilly. Why did you record them? You wanted to make sure they didn't get away again?
Just so you could listen to them again later.
Yeah, I thought so. Yes, of course, yes. Well, absolutely. It would be very interesting.
And
but can I remind you, gentlemen?
Excuse me, when he called me something. door handle. You called me a door handle.
Gentlemen, can I remind you of your youth? I know it's a long way back for you.
It's for ages. Don't be disgusting.
I know it's a long way back for you, but in the earlier mid to early 60s, roads were blocked. Yeah. Shops were getting their supplies by RAF helicopters.
Yeah. Right.
The whole thing was frozen up.
Yeah.
It was a lot colder than it is this weekend coming up.
It certainly was.
And people were just getting on with it.
They were getting on with it.
I can remember going to school. School would be closed because the radiators weren't working. And
that's right. Your cars wouldn't start. People who had diesel engines used to put fires under them to get them going, and the cars would go to be flying. Sheep were dying in the field because aeroplanes were flying in and chucking Ayatollah and things like that.
Thinking Lysanders were coming in and
You've got it rough in Pop Rat.
You don't know you're living. We used to live in cardboard box. You're lucky to have a cup of tea.
You see what I mean? These softies writing the headlines today, absolute rubbish. It was colder in the 60s.
He's one about it.
Sorry?
This is the God's honest truth. Because I was talking to somebody last night who's booked a holiday in Reykjavik. That's in Iceland.
In Reykjavik?
It? Yeah.
All right.
Part of the joy of going out there was to go on husky sleds. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And quite genuinely, you can check this out. It's not a joke or anything. It's the truth. They've actually had to cancel the husky sledding and do it now on, those boxes with wheels, or whatever they're called, because there is no snow in Reykjavik.
Oh, probably. Yeah,
that's
happen.
Not weird.
Well, it's just the way the cycles go around. And also, sadly, this
they're
week...
They're not doing it on a cycle, they're doing it on a truck.
Other people have died this week in Spain after contracting Legionnaire's disease, which is very rare these days. Yeah. And Legionnaire's disease is kind of like a flu virus, only a heck of a lot worse. And if you're, for you two guys, thinking of taking a holiday with said company for the over 50s...
Mm. I can't have holidays, I'm broke.
Oh, God. They had to move everybody out, so be careful. About a third of the 500 or so cases reported in the UK each year, come on.
Each year, dear.
Are picked up abroad, and one in 10 is fatal.
Don't pick up abroad.
No,
well,
do not. Hot news from today is also Chris Hume. Now, you've probably never heard of him unless you're actually in London or something, but he was part of the coalition government. Mm. He was allegedly caught speeding back in 2003. And we have to say allegedly at the moment because nothing is proven. However,
He might well be innocent.
However, the allegations are that he got his ex-wife to lie and say she was driving
the car.
Is
that like his Xbox? Mm.
Probably.
Well, can we just correct this? Because he actually asked his wife at the time to pick up his speeding points for him so that he wouldn't lose his license.
Correct, yeah.
And the allegation is that she agreed. She was his wife at the time. She then recently stopped being the wife. And there was a falling out, and maybe it was an acrimonious falling out, because for some reason or other, this story then got itself to the authorities, and he was investigated. And now they've both been arrested.
It was a newspaper that actually took it to the authorities.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Excuse me. The man who actually got the police involved was a Member of Parliament.
Oh, right.
Yeah, but it was the newspapers who handed over the information.
Right.
Voluntarily, I may say.
I think that both of them now are awaiting summonses, and they're likely to be arraigned in court on charges of not speeding, but perverting the course of justice.
Yeah.
Do I hear the clanging of cell doors?
If they are proved to be guilty, quite well. They could be.
If
they are proved to be guilty, maybe they should. But also remember, it just proves that English women definitely don't have a sense of humour.
Well, that's very true. moving along, it would seem the Argentinians have got a sense of humour failure as well, because Prince Harry is get down there on a tour, which is a six-week tour, as an air-sea rescue pilot, a search and rescue pilot for the RAF. And the Argentinians have taken a dim view of this. I've only got one message for you. And the reason for that is, some years ago, I was associated with the BBC, as many of you will know, and part of that involved broadcasting through the Falklands. And I was really honoured when it was all agreed that our station would go on to the Falklands system. And so when they were driving around in the cars, they could listen to Eric. I wonder how many people left then. Never mind. Anyway,
I think that's good, yeah. Can I just add a little bit on the Falklands? No, carry on.
The point being, we then got to communicate via email with a lot of the Falkland Islanders, and I posed the question to many of them because it obviously interested me because of you know, that which went on in the 80s. And I said to them, you know, do you want to stay British or Argentinian or independent and, you know, any option you like of those? And the answer came back, 100%, we want to remain British.
Yeah. And we want to set up a new state and call it Frei Bentos.
And it just beggars belief that Argentina can still go wittering on about this when the people that actually live there don't want it. Unless, of the Argentinians want the oil.
Now, there's a very good point.
No, not possible. No, they wouldn't want the oil. No.
They wouldn't?
No.
Oh, okay, that's all right then. Yeah, I just want
to... Because they're wrong.
No.
Oh, okay, that's all right then.
But on the other hand, I have to say that the sending of a destroyer and also Prince William over there, I don't think it's just a pure coincidence.
No, both parties are guilty.
I think we are, you know, definitely making a point as well. But as you say, you know, if the people of the Falkland Islands want to stay there, exactly like the people of Gibraltar, then I think they should.
They have the right to vote, rather than some other organisation deciding what should or shouldn't be done. That's my opinion. If you want to disagree with that, send us an email via your station or through the normal RTI ones that you can see on the website. I'm sure Mark is happy about this. Once a night, Sir Fred, but you ain't anymore.
Yes, well, the errant knight, Sir Frederick Goodwin, has now had his knighthood shredded. He was awarded a knighthood in about, was it 2003? Anyway, a few years ago, for his services to banking. And clearly, his services to banking weren't that great, because it's generally speaking reckoned that he was largely responsible for the poor decision-making that resulted in the collapse of the RBS and a real contribution to the collapse of the banking system in this country. And there's been a big debate, really, and I think it's been described as a lynch mob, and I think that's probably right. I think there's been public hysteria. I think there's been a lynch mob attitude to have him stripped of his knighthood, and finally it's happened. But people have used this word lynch mob to sort of criticise the attitude. Well, maybe the public are a bit hysterical about it. Maybe there is a lynch mob attitude. But actually, I think that that's what's needed, because I think these people need to be focused on personally. I think we need to identify individuals. And incidentally, I've had it through a little bird that the FSA has currently been speaking with other members of the banking executives across the country, talking about maybe levying penalties and reducing bonuses of some executives because of the PPI mis-selling scandal. Once again, they're starting to look at personal sanctions, and it is only personal sanctions that are going to change things around.
That's right.
If there's no personal accountability, then it's nonsense. So I'm very pleased he's lost his knighthood. I'm sorry that he's being scapegoated, because actually there's a load of other people that ought to be lined up with him, including, incidentally, the chairman of the FSA, who has admitted to enormous failings in the way they supervise the banking system. We've got Adair, what's his name? Adair, I can't even remember his blinking name now. But Adair, sir, hey? Dan Dare.
Dan Dare, yeah, right.
Yeah, who was knighted for services to the nation, I think, in the year 2000. You know, I think he needs a bit of a serious slap wrist for letting it go. The FSA really fundamentally responsible for the lack of regulation, the lack of surveillance. They've got the powers, they haven't used them. So, yes, goodbye, Sir Fred Goodwin. Hello, Fred Goodwin. Let's see who else we can line up. Yes, it's a lynch mob. Damn right. We need it.
I think it's right. I think what you're saying is right. I think it is what's now being described in Britain, and I think quite rightly described, as posturing politics. Mm-hmm. And I think the posture they've taken is, they're quite rightly looking for scapegoats. Yes. But then you have to then put into consideration, who does Fred Goodwin now line up with? And he lines up with the only people who've ever lost their honours are Benito Mussolini, Robert Mugabe, and the English traitor Anthony Blunt. That's who now he represents. That's how low his reputation's gone. And
I think that the real criticism there, because you're quite right, those other characters have lost their knighthoods, and I think that that's not a condemnation of Fred Goodwin. I think it's a condemnation on the way that our honours are given away, because they're given away All right. Let's just wait. Yeah. I mean, you know, Fred Goodwin got his honours only for doing his job, which he was required to do anyway.
Yes.
You know, nothing more than that. You know, if he'd sort of changed jobs, he wouldn't have been doing the same thing and he wouldn't have got a knighthood. So he just got that. And I think too many knighthoods are given away. And once you've got it, you think you're safe. What we ought to be having
Well, actually, it should be the other way around.
It should be.
Yeah, because the whole idea of a knighthood, if you go back in history, was to protect... No. It was to protect the realm.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Now,
sorry,
I can't see that Fred the Shred protected the realm whatsoever. No. after he dropped him in the cart with a £45 million price tag.
Absolutely, he didn't. He didn't contribute to the big society. He hasn't done anything at all, okay? He's just sat on his backside enjoying that honour, and now it's gone. What we want is that it's a lesson to the others, but we want more honours taken away. Let's get rid of them.
Well, give them out more sparingly, Mark.
Well, yeah, I don't mean get rid of the system. Yeah. I don't mean get rid of the system. But, you know, I mean, for instance, almost every senior civil servant gets an honour. And I understand, once again, from the inside, that the reason they get honour so easily is because basically the forms are distributed. They all support each other. And it's almost just a normal part of the job. Well, that really, you know, brings the whole honour system into disrepute. Let's liven it up. Let's restore the integrity of the honour system by sacking people from their honours.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't it bring it into disrepute when you think about people like Geoffrey Archer?
Of course it does.
But the point is, though, that Fred Goodwin, no matter how badly he operated, will now go... We were talking earlier on about how we make our mark in history and how every man should endeavour at least to make his mark in history. And sadly, in a way, Fred Goodwin is now going to go down in history. His major claim to fame will be that he is there with Robert Mugabe and Anthony Blunt.
Well, let's get him some more cronies to be with then.
and I stand no chance on both sides of the water, the North Sea, because I've managed to upset two lots of governments. So what? I got no chance whatsoever. But the rewards thing that you touched on a moment ago, Mark, is one of the big things that people are looking at in terms of Lloyds Banking Group at the moment.
Mm, that's right. They said, well, they say it's happening again there, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you've got Lloyds Banking Group is preparing to give its investment banking chief, a £4.8 million golden goodbye. Blinkin' heck. What's he done for that?
Well, you know,
that's five times higher than it was the wave for Stephen Hester. Yeah. That's five times higher than that.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's hope it stopped. Okay. I mean, Hester was eventually shamed into giving up his bonus. I mean, extraordinary that this man was prepared to bring his whole company into shame and put that much pressure on the government before he was prepared to give it up. So nobody thinks that he made some honourable gesture there. He didn't really. He just made the best of a bad job.
We predicted every one of these last week.
Yeah.
Funny that. And on that very down note, we'll let you go make that milkshake, cup of tea or cup of coffee or have a slice of pizza or something. We'll be back in part two of Postcard from Potbread. Faster than you can get to your frozen loo.
From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.